That's my my own fan club is right there taking pictures. Would you like me to pose in some particular way, Mom, or is it you're set now, you're right now, we're finished? Oh, okay, see, all right. Say good day to Mum and Dad. There you go. We get them around every now and then. It's good. This is the first time, we try to work it out, but I think, because we're in Queensland and we've been down here in a way, and we think this is the first time that my dad's been with us on Father's Day, possibly forever. I don't know, but quite a long while. So it's great to have Dad here on Father's Day. Fantastic. We've got four generations in the house, which is fantastic. They're all going, what, huh? So my daughter-in-law is pregnant with a, am I allowed to say what it, I'm giving it away. Is that, I'm not giving it away. I am giving it away. Everyone knows she's pregnant. I think that's pretty obvious. But very good, very good, very good. Hey, grab your Bible and have a look at Timothy. We're going to go there first, and then we've got a few other things. I do want to talk about this Superman thing. I'll take about 20 minutes. And I want us to think about it, because today, the hot topic today is actually on the area of brokenness. It's actually about just hurt and overcoming and those sorts of things. We a few weeks ago, for those who don't know, we did a survey. We got people to fill out little cards and stuff and online, and we got a whole bunch of hot topics. What were the things that were sort of interesting to everybody? And so the three that really came out strongly were asylum seekers, which we did last week, and this area of overcoming and brokenness, that kind of area. And we do a lot of that anyway. We do a lot on how to live and how to overcome and how to, you know, do well in life. So we didn't feel we needed to really go into that too much. We're going to do it. And then the other one, the by far the most hottest of hot topics, was this whole area of sexuality. So we'll do that next week. So pray for me during the week while I figure that one out. And we'll begin to that next week. And what we've been doing is looking at, well, what's God's perspective? You know, what's the God perspective on these things, and what's the balance of it? Because I think one of the things I find in those things is people start getting way out of whack. They either get really over on the side of smash everybody, or they get over on the side of anything goes, and they just get out of whack on where they're at. And God's very clear on where He stands and all this stuff, and so we need to just get that in our hearts and lives. But on this area of brokenness, the thing that, and I'm glad it's Father's Day, that's why I chose to put it on today, because when you look at the research, a lot of the brokenness that's in our community can actually be traced, unfortunately, to dysfunctional men, one way or another. And so when we look at this, one of the negative side of that is that, you know, us blokes can cop a bit of a hiding from time to time, which I find is not particularly helpful. And on the other, especially those who can't remember their kids' birthdays and stuff like that, I mean, you don't, Brian's not helped by people telling him that he can't remember his daughter's birthday. That doesn't help him at all. But we go, he's having trouble with the year. That doesn't help. But the other side of it is also true, that men have an incredible potential to bring blessing. And a father particularly brings an amazing blessing into a household. And that's what I want to talk about. Some people actually put in there a question also about broken homes and a father who can't be in the home as such. And we won't address that directly, but can I say, we've had quite a bit of experience with that stuff, that an engaged father... No, I don't mean engaged to a woman. I mean engaged with the children, and a father that engages with his kids, that just wherever, if he can't live there, but he's engaging and he's positive and he's supportive, that father has an incredible impact on his children, an incredible impact. So even if you're in a situation where there's some difficulty there, some separation there, I would encourage you to do whatever you can simply to have a positive input into those kids' lives, because as years go by, that input from their father will have amazing impact in their hearts and lives. And we know, in relation to faith life, that much of someone's view of God is either enhanced or debilitated by their view of their own father. And I've certainly met with and prayed with and helped with guys, many, both men and women, who have had struggles in areas of God's love for them because of difficulties with their own earthly parent. And so there's a great opportunity here. And I love the way the guys were talking, because it's all about having that opportunity to bring something good into the situation. And I just want to encourage all the guys present, bring something fantastic into the home. Be the person that God's made you to be. You will at some, probably you'll be a bit rougher than your wife. If you're not, well, that's okay. And the kids need that balance. But you probably will. Most of the blokes, you know, that we've known the Stokes family for a long while. I'm not surprised. And but bring that into the home, you know, because there's something wonderful about the way a man will actually deal with his kids. And I think that's to be celebrated and rejoiced in and very positively embraced. But men need to approach that in a very sensible way. Listening. Where are they? Listening, gentlemen. 1 Timothy 2 verse. I just want to give you some of the instructions to men. Just really clearly out of the Bible. This is the Apostle Paul talking to two young blokes, Timothy and Titus, and saying to them, hey guys, this is, you want to be a man of God, this is what you do. So 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, he says, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. We could just spend the whole day on that one, couldn't we? I want men everywhere to pray. Lift up holy hands, because when they prayed, they lifted their hands to God. That's how they prayed. And so I encourage you in our services and in your home. And anyway, maybe not when you're driving the car. That's probably not a good time. Although I can drive the car with my knee pretty well. I'm any other blokes with that one? Yeah, thank you. I thought there would be. And but, you know, lift holy hands and pray. And I like the end bit, without anger or disputing. To get rid of that angry thing. Probably the thing that most blokes wrestle with is to get rid of that angry thing out of you. And it's so good to get rid of that, and don't bring that into the home. Don't bring that angry thing. Get rid of that thing. Let God help you and heal you and get rid of that, and don't bring that into the home, but bring that positive, faith-filled life. Anyway, we'll get to some of that. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, they're talking about overseers, and but he says, let the overseer, let them be faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness nor violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Manage his own house well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. Goes on down, verse 7. It says he must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace, into the devil's trap. Talking about some of the qualities and characteristics of a godly man. Someone who says, I want to build that into my life. And if you go through that list and you say, well, I haven't got that, and I haven't got that, and I haven't got that, can I encourage you to identify the thing that you haven't got and ask God to help you develop that? Because he will. He'll work in your heart, he'll work in your life, and he'll change you and develop you, make you a better person day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and help you to grow and develop. Isn't that good? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So that reliability and encouraging that multiplication. Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, just over a couple of pages. Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. Teach the older men. Not sure who that refers to. But anyway, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and in endurance. So older guys, if you see yourself in that, there's a bit of a list for you. Go for it. Titus chapter 2 verse 6 to 8. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they've got nothing bad to say about us. So there's all these instructions to these guys about how to live their lives. And I think the women are already figuring out that the same thing applies to women. That we're talking to the blokes today, but it's pretty obvious that the same characteristics are developed by women as well. And so we'll, as we go through. But the scripture I really want to go to today, that was just to warm us up a little bit, is back in Joshua. And I think a lot of people would have this little passage on there somewhere on their house, or they might have a little bookmark, or who knows what. It's the one that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay? So Joshua is leading the people of Israel. That's his appointment. That's what he's got to do. He's got all these people he's got to actually encourage and lead, and he's calling them to make a decision about who are they going to serve. So he stands before this whole bunch, mainly of blokes, but obviously the women and the kids are all around. But it's in this culture at that time, it was the men that he was addressing, and he's saying, I want you now to make a decision about your life. And let's read what he says. In verse 14 of Joshua 24, he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Father, I pray that as we think about your word today, that you would just seal something in our hearts, that we would be those who would honor you and glorify you and bring blessing to the people around us, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a bunch of things that come out of this. All I want to say today is we're going to pick out a few key things out of what Joshua called them to. If you want to be a blessing to the people around you, we're so focused on this in our church, is that it's great to be blessed. It's great to have the riches and stuff that we talked about before. It's great to have all be healthy and well ourselves and to have good emotional soundness ourselves. But it's greater to be a blessing to somebody else. And all the time as we think about these things, we want to think, how can I be a blessing to the people in my life? What I was joking a little bit before about how we got four generations of our family here, and we can trace that back, and I can look at the hereditary blessing that runs through our family. The scripture says that a curse will last for a couple of generations, but a blessing for 1,000. And so many people focus on the curse. They say, oh, look, my father treated me bad, or my grandfather was no good, or whatever, there's no good. Why do we focus on that? The Bible says that a blessing is for 1,000 generations. And you know that I've talked about it all the time, but I love to see young men particularly establishing something for the generations to come. I just love to see that. If we have a young man who gets married and has kids and they start to establish a godly heritage, it's just such a wonderful thing to see. And obviously, a young woman the same. A young woman who might not have had a godly heritage but establishes that for her own children. That's an amazing thing. I just think that is phenomenal. As they know that they are establishing something for generations to come. And I just want to encourage all of us, wherever we sit on that, is just to be establishing a blessing in the families, in the community that we belong to, in the church we belong to, and make sure that we're the people who bring that blessing. Amen? So, strong men. He's talking about strong men today. Not really supermen, but strong men anyway. And I want to just talk about a few things that strong men have. Number one, Joshua said to them, now fear the Lord. Now fear the Lord. Strong men, I want to submit to you that strong men fear God. Many people in the world think that a strong man is full of pride and full of arrogance. They think that a strong man does whatever he wants and smashes anybody who gets in his way, and that's a strong man. I don't think it's a strong man at all. I think that's a very insecure man. At best, it's someone who is selfish and full of themselves and full of arrogance and pride. I don't think that's a very healthy place to be at all. Generally, that might be helpful to those that are immediately around them, but quite destructive to most of the population. I think the pride-arrogant route is not a very good one. I think that the source of real strength in guys and in women and all people is to actually be submitted to God. That when he says fear the Lord, that word fear means to reverence, to awe, to honor and to respect God. And I think the beginning of a truly strong man, someone who establishes a blessing and a heritage, is a man who fears God, a man who loves God with all his heart, a man who is not afraid to lift up holy hands and pray, a man who is not wussy and wimpy. I hate the wussy and wimpy. Can't stand it. When they bring on those, I think, what's that rotten Pride and Prejudice, is it, or one of those rotten flippin' girly things, and they bring on that wussy, mealy-mouthed minister. Anyone know what I'm talking about? They wheel out this bloke who's just so wussy and wimp. What is it? Mr. Collins. Who would give a rip? And he comes, And the girl, they watch. It's not a bad show. They watch that, and I'm sitting there every time I see that he comes on. I'm going to put something through the television set. It's okay for you. You're not a minister of the gospel. You know, it's okay for you. You're not one of those people who's supposed to wear the dog collar and stuff. But I see this guy, and I say, that is not what we're like. And I just at the beginning is a reverence for God, where someone just loves God with all their heart. And I find that the people, the men particularly, but men and women, but the men who love God with all their heart, you know, they got no fears. They're not. I mean, you know them. We've introduced them here in our church many, many times. And we've got people among us who are exactly like this. And they will go into any situation. They'll face any hardship. They'll encounter any difficulty because they're dependent on God. They say, I might not be able to do it myself, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning. The scriptures is the beginning of the wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of the choice that you make to be strong for your family and for your community. And I tell you now, our community would be unbelievably better off if we had a population of men who feared God. Yeah, unbelievably better off if we just had men who loved and feared God with all their hearts. I'm talking about some religious weird thing where they try to impose stuff on everybody else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about men who love God, men who are submitted to God, men who come before God and say, God, I know I'm an angry cuss. Can you help me to get healing and get sorted so I don't pass that on to my kids? That's the sort of fear of God I'm talking about, where there's real change, there's real dynamic in the relationship that kids can look at it and they go, that, you know, I think it was Adrian was talking about, kids can look at that and they go, I want to be like that. Not some wussy, wimpy, mealy-mouthed thing, but someone who loves God and submitted to God and is strong about it. That's what kids need to see. I say to we run groups for the us older chaps, and one of the things we're focused on really strongly is that our men, particularly our mature men, that we need to lead the way. I say, we talk about it. We're not going to let these young people, they can come and they can dance and jump around. Well, we can too. We might be a bit more crotchety about it, but we can sort of do it. But we can come and we can bring strength, and we can bring the love of God, and we can bring worship, and we can bring prayer. And we ought to be strong. Fear of the Lord. Oh, it's fantastic stuff. Second thing, I'm not going to get through, but it's all right. Read it yourself. The second thing, he says, serve God. Strong men serve God. Strong men serve God. I haven't got time, but look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua had an incredible task. God said, Moses is dead. So you remember, Ten Commandments, crossing Red Sea, all that. So Moses is dead. You're going to lead the people. You will lead my people into the land that I promised to them. He said, be strong and courageous because you're going to lead my people. I tell you what, strong men lead. Strong men lead the way. Strong men serve God. Strong men get their hearts full of what God has got for them to do, and they get about it without any excuses and without any, you know, rationalizing or anything like that. They get in their heart, what is it I got to do to serve God? I'm going to go. I'm going to get after it. Amen? Serve God. Strong men serve God. I'm not going to have time to go into that anymore, but we've got a group of people who, in terms of the new property, have got it on their hearts to really make that happen, and we're all going to make it happen. But there's a group who say, oh, we really feel the burden of that. If you want to be part of that group, you see Stuart. He'd love to hook you up. But we got a group, and they meet together, and we were sharing the other day out of that thing in Isaiah 32 and verse 2. And if you look at it, it talks about being a shelter and a refuge and a stream of water and shade from the sun. It talks about men and women who establish their life to be a blessing to somebody else, who serve God and serve their community, and they become the answer, not the problem. That's what I'm talking about, serve God. Number three, strong men are what? What does it say? Serve him with all faithfulness. Faithfulness. Strong men are faithful. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? A faithful man who can find? And I tell you today that a man is either faithful or he's not. And if he's unfaithful in any area of his life, you can't trust him. Just keep it that simple. Young women, if you're getting to know somebody, getting to know some young bloke, if he's unfaithful in any area of his life, he's unfaithful with his finance, unfaithful with his word, unfaithful towards his family, then have a think about it. It'll only take some time and some pressure, and he'll be unfaithful to you. So don't hook up with an unfaithful bloke. Just don't do it. Is that simple enough? Just don't hook up with an unfaithful bloke. Look for faithfulness above it. God looks for faithfulness above everything else. God's not impressed with talent because he's more talented. God's not impressed with age because he's older. He's not impressed with strength because he's stronger. God's impressed with faithfulness. That's what he's impressed with. He's impressed with faithfulness. And a faithful man is an incredible blessing. Have a look when you get home at Psalm 15. It talks about who can actually come to live with God. And in the end of it, it says a man who swears to his own hurt but keeps his word. A faithful man. A faithful man. Challenge yourself. Am I faithful to what I say? Am I faithful to my family? Am I faithful to my church, to my community? Am I faithful to the convictions that I have? Let God help you with that. So Joshua's going through it. Fear the Lord. Serve the Lord. Be faithful. Then he says, throw away other gods. I love throw away other gods. Jesus met a rich young guy, and the guy was dominated by his material wealth. And Jesus said to him, give away all your money and follow me. And the young man couldn't do it because his money owned him. And so it says there, throw away other gods. In this case, it was the idols of the countries where they'd been living. They were in slavery. They thought if they took on the gods of the country they were in, then maybe the gods would help them to get out of it. So they'd all taken on all these idols and all these gods. But the thing I love about this story is that all of the blokes there, they said, we've decided to serve God. All of them. And they said, it's like, I just have this image, it's like they shook off the old stuff, they shook off the old gods, they shook off the idolatry, they shook off the grip of materialism, they shook off the pleasure seeking, which is one of the gods of our community, they shook off the selfishness and the pride, they just shook it all off, and they had enough sense and wisdom and discernment to say, I'm in. We're going to do something together for the glory of God, and I'm not going to let anything get in the way of doing what God has called me to do. So let's get rid of those idols and get them out of our lives. And the last thing he said to them, he said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The last thing I want us to think about, strong men lead the way. Strong men lead the way. Am I saying that women don't lead? No, I'm not. Don't reverse engineer it. Okay? What I am saying is strong men lead. Strong women lead as well. And we've got wonderful, strong women in our church who lead incredibly well. The thing, you know where I'm coming from with this. I think you've heard me say it before. The thing I don't like is when a man allows himself to lag behind his wife. I don't like that. When a man allows his spiritual life to get in such a dilapidated state that his wife appears godly and he appears like a goose. That's what I don't like. And as men, that does never need to happen. There's only one person who's controlling what you do with God, and that's you. You're the only one who's controlling that. And at any moment, right now, this moment, this day, in church today, you can make a decision and say, I will be a godly man. I will seek God. I will walk with God. And I tell you what, if my wife looks like she's catching up, I'll just go harder. You can do it. This whole idea about, oh, women are more spiritual and they, you know, it's easier for them. Oh, get off it. It's not true. Men were made to walk with God. Come on. Men were made to be. See, some men think that they have to be like a woman in order to worship God. They've got to be some soft pansy or something like that. Anyway, that's not a good. Anyway, they've got to. Some men think that they've got to sort of be like that in order to serve God. You don't. You don't. You go for it. Be strong. I mean, these blokes killed people. Don't kill anybody. They were strong. They fought battles. They confronted great enemies. These were men. They were powerful. They were strong. They weren't full of fear, and they weren't wussy, and they were good blokes. And I one of the things I want to encourage all the time is that we have men, young men, older men in our church who are strong, who lead the way. And I don't mean they have to have a position or anything like that. That's rubbish. They lead the way with their heart and their soul and their life. And others can look at them and go, I want to be like that. I hear every now and then some older guy, not in our church, but I hear it from other places. I know I'm thinking of one guy particularly at the moment. And they say, I want to teach all the young men. I want all the young men to learn from me. And I'm looking at that guy and I'm going, well, because there's no young men are actually trying to talk to him. And I'm thinking, I know why. Because there's nothing there. If you want to get to your older age and you want to have young men look up and say, I want to be like that, then you've got to give them something to look at. And I don't mean appearance-wise. We can't do a great deal about that. But I do mean heart and soul and vigor and fire and man alive. I loved it a few weeks ago, and Pam's right here with us, and we had the Thanksgiving service for David. And those who don't know, David Whalen, one of our older men, wonderful man of God. And I thought about this stuff. I thought about faithful and strong. And I asked the question, why were there a bunch of young men who were in that place and were some of them openly weeping? Why? Because strong men lead the way. Strong men lead the way. And when you see a strong man leading, then you know what it's all about. You know what life's about. You know what the reality of life is about. They don't have to be loud. They don't have to be all extroverted and all public and all that. But they have to be strong. They have to be strong. They have to have it in their heart to serve God and to honor God. And wherever you are, whatever your past life experience, the Apostle Paul said he was a bad bloke. And he went and he persecuted the church. He killed people who are in churches like we are today. So he would come into the church, he'd pull them out and he'd kill them. So, you think you're worse than that? Well, good luck to you. I don't know what worse you could do to go into a church, drag people out and kill them. I think that's, you're not going to do much worse. And you know what Paul said? When God finally got a hold of him and he realized how stupid he had been, you know what he said? He said, I forget those things that lie behind and I press forward to the goal that's ahead. And I want to say to you, whatever your life experience has been, maybe this week you've been a wussy Christian, maybe you've messed up stuff at home or whatever, wherever you have been, it doesn't matter. Forget what's behind and set your agenda today and say, I will be a godly man. I will lead my family in love and in grace. And maybe you're in a broken situation. Maybe you're in a horrible situation. Well, there's nothing you can do about that right now. What you do is you make a decision and say, I will be a blessing from this day forward. And maybe one family member or another won't accept it and won't receive it. Well, that's their issue. I will be a godly man. I will be a loving man. I will be a man of grace and of strength. I'm going to be like that. Amen? And women? Women, do the same. Is that pretty easy? Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your incredible grace. We thank you, Lord God, that there is absolutely no judgment from you on us in these areas. That you don't hold us to our past and to all that junk. You don't tie us up with that. And I just thank you, Lord, that your mercy to us is new every day, that right now, right in this moment, we can make a decision to honor you and to serve you, and immediately you cleanse all of that other stuff and you help us and strengthen us to deal with the consequences and the outworking of it, but you don't hold it over our heads. And I thank you for that, Father God, that you are loving and you are forgiving and you are incredibly strong. And Lord, we're praying today that you would help us, particularly the men here today, we're praying that you would help us to be the same, to be loving and to be gracious, to be positive and to be a blessing and to be strong, not arrogant, not harsh, but to have your strength that we can be a blessing to the people around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you're the guys particularly, but ladies, you know what I'm about. Just get it in your heart. But the guys particularly today, if that's in your heart, then I want you to take a moment right now and really focus. If you know there's parts of what I've been talking about that you just haven't got a hold of yet, but you want to, then God will help you. Just get a hold of it today. Don't let the devil put you down. Don't start thinking, I can't do that. Don't let those thoughts roll. Don't do it. Stop it. And right now, say, I'm going to be the man that God has made me to be. Because there's no reason for any of us to fall short of what God intends for us. Father, I pray for every young man and older man in our church today, in this place today. And for all of us, Lord, we're asking that you would help us to chuck off the past, to throw away the junk, and to be the people that you've called us to be. Father, I pray this morning for any of the women who are here with us and the younger women who are with us here today who have been negatively affected by the men in their life. And I pray, Father God, that they would know your love and grace, that you would bring healing and wholeness, and that they too would be a blessing to the people around them. That, Lord, you would, by your power and your strength, cut off any of the junk that's gone on in family life and help us each one to be a blessing to the people around us. Thank you, Lord. If you're not right with God today, we give an opportunity every week for you to get right with God. If you're not a Christian, or maybe you are, but you don't talk to God, you're not in relationship with Him, then you can be right with God today. It's very, very simple. It's one of those things. It's a simple thing to do, and then it's quite a challenging thing to live out. But God will help you. But it's a simple thing to do. Say, God, forgive me for my sin. Come into my life. I give my life to you. Simple as that, and you make a beginning today. If you want to pray that way today, then you open your heart, and here's an opportunity for you to do exactly that. Get right with God. Get the ball rolling. Get started on what God has for you. We're all going to pray together. You join us, and you pray from your heart. Mean it, and let God do something in your life. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those who prayed that prayer and you meant it today, we have a little booklet for you. It's called Becoming a Friend of Jesus, because it's about relationship, not religion. And so this little book has just got simple studies that your friend who brought you today, your family member, will help you with. You don't have to try and do it all on your own. They will help you. So grab your friend, go over to our host. They'll give you one of these, and they'll help you to start working through so you can get a genuine relationship with God and sort it out. Amen? Fantastic. Before